Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honour and majesty, who covers yourself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who lays the beams of his chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks upon the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Well, you remember, just one angel went out at the time of Hezekiah and destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. And we're told in Hebrews that all the angels are all ministering spirits. That is, they're all working, as it were, to serve us, so that we might come into God's kingdom. So there's this huge activity for us going on in the world, and it's all by God, but he does it through the angels. That is this huge system of God working all around us. He laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever. So that's a comfort, that the earth will not be destroyed. God promised to give this earth to Abraham and to his seed. So the earth is not going to be destroyed. Now, although we should be responsible with the planet, we should not be caught up in the fear or even obsession which there is with some people that we are going to destroy the planet, that physically we are going to destroy this place. No, I can understand people who don't understand the good news of the kingdom feeling that way and being rightly concerned. But we know that actually this earth is not going to be destroyed, and that God's kingdom is going to come here forever. But it's true that unless Jesus does return and establish his kingdom, probably man would destroy his own planet. And the fact that it looks like that's the way it's heading, I think is actually quite a sign that Jesus is going to come back soon, because God will not allow that to happen. He will intervene. You cover the earth with the deep, that is with the sea, like with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You set a bound that they may not pass over, but they don't turn again to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every animal of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them shall the birds of the sky have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. So it's not that this world is like creation that's been set up to sort of go along on clockwork. God is actively involved in causing grass to grow for cattle to eat. He knows the singing of the birds in some remote place. He knows where the wild donkeys are drinking, and he's in that sense giving them their water. So God has this amazing active involvement. And if we think, well, where is God active? You only need to look at the natural creation and you will see that he is in fact active all the time. And he makes wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he has planted. So when a seed lands and germinates and grows into a sapling and then into a strong tree, God planted that. God was in that. There is no random. There is no chance. There is nothing that's outside God's control. Even when a seed lands in a remote place and grows up into a tree, God, as it were, planted it. So these great cedars of Lebanon were planted by God, in which the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows his going down. You create darkness, and it is night wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Now, people used to fear the darkness. They thought that this was some evil power that was around. But God creates the darkness. You make the darkness. Just as it says in Isaiah 45 that God makes the light and the darkness, and he creates good and disaster or evil. So God is all-powerful. There is no Satan being. There are no demons floating around. God is the God of the light and of the darkness. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. The sun arises, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goes forth to his work and to his labour until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches. So is this great and wide sea, in which are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great animals. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan whom you have made to play therein. These all wait upon you, that you may give them their food at the right time. So at the very deep bottoms of the ocean, there are all manner of fish and creatures that are living there, and God knows them all and is feeding them all. What you give them, they gather. You open your hand, they're filled with good. So the point is that God is not asleep. He has not wound the world up on clockwork and left it running. He is actively involved, outgiving consciously of his energy. When you hide your face, they're troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. So the spirit is like the life force. Remember, Adam was made as a dead body. God breathed into his nose the breath of the spirit of life, and man became a living soul or a living creature. And so when God takes away his spirit, he takes away their breath or their spirit, they die and return to their dust. And that is how it is. We are made of dust and we shall return to dust. And the only hope of immortality is for those who are called to know the gospel, to believe that gospel, and in our case, to believe in the Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection, and we will rise again. Apart from that, all that is in this earth, men, animals, everything, is made of dust and will return to the dust. And that's the end of it. Unless God recreates us in the resurrection of the body, and that is what he's going to do for those of us who commit ourselves to Jesus. The glory of the Lord will endure forever. The Lord will rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. O my soul, praise the Lord. So he's talking to himself. He's encouraging himself. Look, come on, this is how God is. Praise him, feel him out there, see him, and praise him.